bow or burn. Says King Nebuchadnezzar to all his officials. And he means it. Three Jews find out. Yet God always judges those who judge others. In the first chapter of Daniel, heathen customs were judged. In the second chapter, heathen philosophy was judged. And now in the third chapter, heathen pride is judged. There are those who want to destroy our faith, but God wants to develop our faith. A faith that cannot hold up while in the fire is not worth holding. A faith that is worth holding stands in the fire, takes deeper root, brings fruit, and brings glory to God. Whereas the worthless faith withers, fades, and wants to quit, bears no fruit, brings shame to God, and not glory. This is why God allows our faith to enter the fire. It will show what kind of faith we have. And some men were put in the fire in Daniel 3, and we'll see that. But before we get to that, I want to remind you of the words of Peter, an apostle of Christ, who said, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. But the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter said later in the same letter, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be filled or glad with exceeding joy." Again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Now you can open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, experienced all the things that I've been saying to you from the moment I got up here and started speaking. First, now in verses 1 through 7, look what King Nebuchadnezzar does. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. This image of gold is at least 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It's huge in size and it's huge in price. In chapter 2, you'll recall last Sunday evening, Nebuchadnezzar found out that in a dream in which he saw an image, that he is the head of gold, but he wants a body of gold. The head of gold went to the head of his flesh, and he thought, and he wants now a whole image of gold. And so he makes it. In verses 2 and 3, the king calls all the authorities of his kingdom to come to the dedication of this massive and expensive image that he has put up. And it is told that at the sound of the music, these officials are to bow or burn. Everyone, according to verse 7, well, almost everyone, bows down to worship, conforming to the decree of the king. And the king finds plenty of conformers. Let's see what happens now in verses 8 through 12. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods, nor worship the gold image which you have set up. When others bow low, three Jews stand tall. And sure enough, they have their critics who are seeing if the Jewish leaders are doing their job, which makes me wonder, aren't they doing their job when they're supposed to be bowing down? How can they see that these guys are not bowing down? When I preached through the Gospel according to Mark about a year ago, I pointed this out to you. In Mark chapter 3, the Bible shows that the Chaldeans have cousins living in the days of Jesus. In fact, they have relatives, and we'll have relatives clear to the end of time. In Mark 3:2, Mark writes, And they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. Let's just see if he does anything wrong, and we'll get him. Well, back here in Daniel 3, verses 9 through 12, the accusers identify three men. And they are men, they say, whom the king has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Do you sense any resentment in their accusation against these Jews? The charge is that they do not pay due regard to the king. They don't serve his gods, and they're not bowing and worshiping before this gold image. And I wondered, do these accusers truly care for the purity of their worship, or are they simply looking for evidence to condemn the Jewish leaders? Now remember, last Lord's Day morning when we looked at Daniel chapter 1, that Daniel and his three friends had saved these very men from death. Now they want them dead. In chapter 2, these Chaldeans could not give... In chapter 2, these Chaldeans could not give the king his dream or the interpretation. Therefore, The king orders the deaths of all the Chaldeans. And then along comes Daniel and his friends, who provide the king his dream and the interpretation of it. And chapter 2, verse 24 even shows Daniel speaking up for these Chaldeans, saying they don't have to die. However, critics never appreciate what others do for them. These informers are betrayers. Nevertheless, the faith of the three is not moved by these things, but they obey the Lord, trusting Him to work things out. In verses 13 through 18, these three Jews stand for what is right, even in the face of a madman. Daniel 3, starting at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these three these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Well, just like we saw last Lord's Day evening, again the king's anger is out of control. These young Jewish men, the king concluded back in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, are 10 times better than all his other advisors. Yet he is willing to kill them over his silly opinion, which has nothing to do with running the affairs of the kingdom. This has nothing to do with which he brought them into his service. In verse 14, the king is shocked that these three men, do not follow his orders. Others report to him about the three friends, and he checks to see if the report is true. The king gives them another chance, revealing the penalty, and questions whether there is a God who is able to deliver them from the king's hands. This king worships false gods and actually believes that he is higher than the gods, including the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "There's not a God who can deliver you from my hands. I'm better than the gods, you three young men." Amazingly, as verse 16 shows, knowing that they may die, these young men state boldly that there is no need to answer the king in this matter. However, they say the God of the Jews is able to deliver them from the furnace and from the king. But remember the king's confession back in chapter 2, verse 47. Look what he says there. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." However, the king is like all of us, forgetting facts, neglecting commitments, and not remembering confessions that we've made. Yet, interestingly, in verse 18, back in chapter 3, these three young men reveal their wisdom because They state that although God can deliver, that does not mean that He will deliver. But that doesn't change their faith at all, even as they're looking at the fiery burning furnace. Hebrews chapter 11 shows some who conquered through their faith and some who were conquered because of their faith. Interestingly, the Hebrew writer even makes reference to some who quenched the violence of fire, referring to these three men, but also he speaks about some who were sawn in two. God delivers some and lets some suffer. The three friends know that they do not order God, but they follow His orders. Either way, they will not serve the king's gods nor worship his image. These young men do not have faith for what they can get out of it. They have faith because they want to be true and loyal to the God of heaven, regardless of the consequences and regardless of the rewards. Back in chapter 1, starting at verse 8, these young men purposed not to defile themselves with the king's delicacies. Now, in chapter 3, they purpose not to defile themselves with the king's gods. Their conviction in small matters prepared them for conviction in greater matters. Well, let's look at verses 19 to 25 now and discover whether these three men are fireproof or not, and whether their faith is fireproof. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times hotter, more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, or the Son of the gods. The king's anger reaches its climax. Even the way he looks at these three men, whom he highly favored at one time, changes. The normal heat of the furnace is not enough for his rage, but he orders it seven times hotter. Proud men do not like to be disobeyed. They tell others what to do, and no one questions or challenges them. And that's what they did. And so he's going to make them pay the price. And then he orders his best soldiers to throw his best advisors into the fire. Unfortunately, the king's wild anger causes him to lose his best soldiers. Shall he lose his best advisors also? They fall to the hottest part of the fire. Does the story end? No. The king sees an amazing sight. He says he sees four men who are loose, who are walking, who are not hurt, and the fourth one looks divine. Is the Lord with us when we are in the furnace of affliction? Is the Lord with us as we enter death's door? The Lord Jesus Christ promised us, and He never breaks His promises, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. Praise God that He gave us that promise, because I'm going to hold Him to it. Aren't you? I want Him to be with me through thick and thin, and just as looking right at death, whatever death might be. We need Him. Let's read now the last part of this chapter, starting at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps of ministers, governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces or torn from limb to limb, as some translations put it. And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Well, the king is still ordering people around and commands the three to come out. He commands the three to come out? Oh, man, if I had been the king, I would have said, you four come out. I want to see who this fourth one is. I'd like to really talk to you. You must have had something to do with these three. So why he didn't ask, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out later. The king is convinced quickly that the three wise men are servants of the Most High God. And as servants of the Most High God, they are also servants of King Nebuchadnezzar. So when he gives the order to come out, and this in no way violates God's word, they come out immediately. They do it. With gaping mouths and wide eyes, no doubt, they all examine the three Jews and find that the fire has not harmed them, their hair is not singed, their garments are not affected. As a matter of fact, they don't even smell like fire. Interestingly, notice how their observation is in the reverse of how the fire would affect them. First, obviously, you would get the smell on you, and then it'd start to burn your hair and your clothes, and then your body. Well, they're noticing first, hey, these guys haven't been killed. Well, as a matter of fact, their clothes and their hair are still intact. They don't even smell like it. It has had no effect on them whatsoever. And then in verse 28, without prompting from the three friends, the mighty King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the greatest rulers in world history, blesses the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he had sent his angel to deliver his servants, he said, who trust in him, who are willing to yield their bodies because of their faith in God. Does their faith hold up in the fire? Sure does. He says, the king himself says, these servants of the Most High God have frustrated the king's words. They have frustrated my words. These men have a connection with a power that's even greater than me. As though he's shocked by that. These servants have yielded their bodies rather than serve any god but the God of heaven. Therefore, in verse 29, this king makes an ACLU unfriendly decree that no one is to speak against the God of heaven. Our nation will become friendly to God when we show them what He does by how we live. That we are people of faith. Well, as verse 30 then says, the three Jews receive promotions. They do not fear man or flame, but only the God of heaven. And the king knows those are the kind of supporters and advisors I need in my kingdom. I need men like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are transformers, refusing to be conformed or formed with this world. But by purpose of heart, they show the world the wisdom of God's way. If you are with the Lord is with you all the way, regardless of what the way is. Therefore, He says to all of us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And two chapters later, again, God speaking through Isaiah says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Isaiah 43, and verse 2. Why do we suffer? Why are we in situations like the three friends, especially when we just don't know what God's going to do? They didn't know what God was going to do. But they knew what they were going to do. Can anything good come from a situation like that? Well, did anything good come from the encounter that these three friends had with fire? Not until they were right in the fire, right in the midst of their suffering. Not until then did at least two good things happen. They met the Lord, or at least some heavenly being, and they were freed from their bondage. Fiery trials shall come our way. And we will wonder, how can I keep at it? Why? Why don't I just quit? Don't quit. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God's grace is sufficient to see us through. The fire that He allows us to go through removes our impurities. That's what Peter said, one of those passages I gave you at the very beginning. Removing the impurities from us. And then it makes us more valuable than gold. One of us, as we go through the fires of this life, become more valuable than that great 90-foot high image that Nebuchadnezzar put up. Because our fire is tested and it will continue to be tested. Have faith. Follow Jesus Christ, because we're told in Revelation chapter 14 that those who are in heaven are those who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And that means I have to follow Him in death. His death. And I can do that today. If you recognize that, well, perhaps I'm already dead. I am dead. I want to be dead to sin. Well, we need to bury you. And then we'll perform a resurrection. All that's known as baptism. We'll put you in the water that's right here behind me. We'll put you down into it and bring you back up, and you'll be a new creature, ready to follow the Lord with whatever faces you and Him. You'll do it together. If you have that need, please come forward now as we stand and sing.